This is CICK News. On Tuesday of this week, City West customers across the north were once again without internet for a day, starting around 10 a.m. and not returning to most customers until 7 p.m. that night. This is the third internet failure in the region of the summer, and frankly, people are getting fed up. I spoke to a number of businesses and organizations in town on Wednesday to ask how this affects their operations.
So my name is Annie Laurie, and I work at Edmison Mayer, Chartered Professional Accountants.
So how did the internet outage yesterday affect you, your business, and your client?
Yeah, so it was really disruptive. A lot of our work is cloud-based, so we couldn't actually access any of our accounting work that is cloud-based. I ended up having to go home, and because I have a Starlink, and I was able to get work done there. But at home, I wasn't able to access our network. So it was either one or the other, network at work or internet at home.
And so I'm not sure if you were speaking to clients about that, like if they were like, I'm just, you know, it's kind of just a topic that people are talking about now, but do you feel like that's kind of a common thing where people are saying, fine, I guess I'll just get Starlink?
Yeah, so I have talked to a few clients this morning about how that difficult that was for them. And we talked about how I had gone home with my Starlink, and they were thinking that this might be the option. Mm-hmm. The way they have to go moving forward.
City West Marketing Campaign Coordinator Fiona Scrivens told CICK News through an email that the primary network disruption is the result of copper theft affecting the Rogers network in Alberta. The transition from legacy copper and dial-up to high-speed fiber across Northwest BC has been a massive 15-year undertaking, unfolding in strategic waves since 2010. What began as a backbone replacement along the Highway 16 and 37 corridors eventually expanded to ambitious subsea projects for coastal communities and remote stretches like the Stewart-Cassiar Highway. By mid-2025, over 200 kilometers of new fiber reached Dees Lake. As last-mile projects continue to bridge the gap between main lines and individual doorsteps, the region is on track to fully eliminate legacy internet by 2027, finally overcoming the challenges of its rugged terrain to ensure 100% high-speed connectivity, according to Connected Coast, a joint project between City West and Strathcona Regional District. However, another business owner told me that it isn't just City West that's the issue, but that the fiber optic cable and lines that were built are not up to snuff, especially if they are this subject to vandalism. He told me that he now pays for both City West and Starlink as a backup for the next time that this happens. Smithers Brewing Company co-owner Blaine Etsby shared the disturbances for their business as well.
Well, I think after the third time in a few months here, like, we got to look at other options because it affects our point of sale system. We can actually do credit cards, and it holds the charge for 24 hours. But every time this happens, we get a handful of them that don't go through at the end, and we're liable for it. So we're trying to give people the option to do credit cards, but if for some reason that credit card doesn't work in the 24 hours or once it comes back on, we're 100% liable for it. So like we're out quite a few hundred dollars actually over the last three outages. And yeah, like we got to find a solution or do something here.
What is your solution, do you think?
I never want to say it, but obviously we'd probably be looking at Starlink because that's about the only other option that doesn't deal with cable theft or whatever else it is, right?
But not everyone I spoke to was so negatively affected. And as Wendy Wright, the Smithers Public Library director, shared with me, the day was a bit of an unexpected gift.
Well, it's hearkening back to our earlier days. It's kind of funny that way. For those of us who have worked with books for a long time, it was sort of, it was nostalgic, frankly. I didn't have to sit staring at my computer all day and doing emails and everything online. And I actually got to go out and work with the books. And I ended up weeding a bunch of old books it's one of those things I think, I never have time to go through and look at all the books and see which ones are really out of date and or in poor condition, because the computer doesn't tell me what condition they're in, just whether or not they're being borrowed. And while I was in the kids section doing this, going through the collection, I heard all day long so many parents coming in and reading to their kids, and some kids reading to their parents, which was especially heartwarming. And it was a lovely, refreshing break from my perspective. Now, of course, people who are looking for ebooks, for e-audiobooks, e-magazines, were unable to do that, but we could still check things out to people. We just wrote it down, went old school, wrote down their name and the identifying information for the books, and I think we managed pretty darn well.
So some businesses have said that what they need to do is now they feel like they need to go have a backup, like Starlink as a backup. But here at the library, do you think you would just take the days as a bit of a win?
Honestly, to me, it felt like a gift. I've worked with books and people for 35 years, and I can remember when we went from being valued for the knowledge that was already in our head through years of experience to anyone just being able to look it up. And there was something lost there. There was something valuable was lost. And it was really refreshing yesterday to have people coming in and saying, "Do you have this book?" And without looking it up, saying, "Yes, let's go find it together." And I enjoyed it.
Through email, City West confirmed that the internet outage affecting dozens of northern BC communities from Prince Rupert to Vanderhoof was due to copper theft on the Rogers network in Alberta. While network traffic is typically redirected during such disruptions, a secondary backup route is currently compromised by wildfire activity, leading to these widespread service losses. To address the region's vulnerability in such disruptions, City West highlighted its ongoing investment in a new fiber backbone along Highway 37. Supported by the CRTC Broadband Fund, this project aims to increase network resiliency and reduce dependency on third-party infrastructure, ensuring that future incidents have a less significant impact on the north. Up on Hislop Road on a beautiful blue sky day in the Bulkley Valley this week, I drove to meet a group of employees for Youth on Farms at High Slope Acres as they learned carpentry tools to build a new seed cart for the library's seed library. So can you explain what we're doing here today?
Yeah, just give everybody that's working out on different farms a little bit of background on some tools that might be something they run into on their work site. So we just went over safety lessons and different basic tools, but basic power tools. And then we like to do these training days as hands-on. So to practice what we've learned this morning, we're building the seed cart for the new library. Mm-hmm. Youth on Farms is basically 15 to 29,
yeah,
or 15 to 30, I guess. This year we actually have a wide range. Sometimes they're a bit closer in range, but this year we have right the low and the high end, mm-hmm, which makes it interesting because everyone has different experiences. So it kind of works out well that way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make a difference from our perspective or our partner farm's perspective, mm-hmm, as long as they're interested in doing the job. But yeah, good range of ages this year. Yeah, so everybody here today specifically, we have a relationship with. So these are basically, it's Groundbreakers Youth on Farms employees that are working on different farms. So that's what's here today. These are our training days are a little bit different than our work bee days. Work bee days are a bit more open to everybody. These ones are specific for those who are working with us already, with the exception of Katia, who's one of our Rise Up volunteers. And so she gets to take advantage of these.
Yeah, so then they're bringing that out so that if someone needs, like, let's say, like a garden box built, and they have this experience.
Totally, yeah, for the job, but also for themselves too. Like, just once we learned about the tools, we said, "Oh, like, what do you guys want to practice on?" So everybody chose like a little thing for themselves. So Callie hatches chickens, got chickens at home. So we're like, "Oh, do you need anything? Maybe a little ramp for your chicken coop?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's perfect." So she practiced on the drills and stuff, doing that for herself. And someone made a little frame for stress some canvas over for a painting. And then someone started a soil screener. So yeah, what we're doing this afternoon, the major practice is on the seed cart. But this morning, just like after we learned some stuff, they each chose a little mini project, mm-hmm, zipped off in a couple hours.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to or if you can answer this question, but why it's mostly women. Is that like typical?
Yeah, I think I found in this industry, not so much like the last 50 years, uh-huh, agriculture has been, seems to have been dominated by men, but it's not always the case. First of all, it's the women are a lot doing the work in the background and holding it together, and more like you see so many women run farms this style anyways, like more the markety garden or the smaller scale, mm-hmm, but I have found in the past 10 years or 15 years there are more women who are that we've employed, that I've employed personally, but also through Youth on Farms and others too, like the odd guy, but it's women. Yeah,
we're taking over.
Yeah,
watch out.
That sounds good. Yeah.
The Rise Up provincial program serves as a vital bridge between food system education and hands-on reality, connecting volunteers with local host organizations such as Groundbreakers for practical on-the-ground training. By participating in farm work bees and community projects, volunteers gain authentic experience that moves beyond the romanticized vision of agriculture to build genuine resume-ready skills. This collaboration not only strengthens the local food network, but it also causes a vetted talent pool for employers, ensuring that those entering the field are well-prepared and deeply connected to their community's food systems. The workers at High Slope Acres told me why they like this work and what motivated them to start farming. Here are two Groundbreakers employees, Jade and Eden, on the subject.
I primarily have focused my career on environmental science, working in a lot of industrial sites, and I really wanted to dive into agriculture and as well as connect with our local farming community mm-hmm. in the Bulkley Valley.
Yeah,
because that's not something that I have an exposure to. I was born and raised in Terrace, but we didn't really do any of that type of thing. The experience offered by Bulkley Valley Groundbreakers mm-hmm. through the Youth on Farms program allows me to expand my skills and then transfer them to my own personal projects mm-hmm. Because I am an aspiring farmer.
Okay.
I do have my own property, and it's really good to get that exposure because it shows me realistically how much work goes into it and the infrastructure that you need to actually be successful or to not be successful.
I've heard it's like a pretty big issue, like I don't know about the United States, but in Canada, that the farming population is aging. Mm-hmm. Some of the statistics are like actually pretty dire about how much we need to get youth and like the next generation of people growing food involved. So I think it's just a cool initiative to be involved with in general. And I'm also a young farmer, so it kind of suits my demographic.
Looking ahead, as Mark mentioned in our interview, food sovereignty, autonomy, and knowing where your food is coming from is forefront in the minds of youths in the Bulkley Valley. And for someone like Callie, she wants to be able to upgrade her skills and bring them back to her own farm. Okay, Callie, what were you just doing?
Using the table saw.
To do what?
To cut plywood.
For what?
For the seed cart for the library.
What other projects have you done this summer?
Working on the farms, just planting, harvesting, yeah, okay. Weeding, like the usual.
Yeah.
And then with the training day, the other training day we did was all about composting and everything. So we learned about how to compost.
Do you live on a farm?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah. Have two cows and a bunch of chickens.
So do you bring what you learned back home, or is this sort of upgrading your skills?
I have noticed that I do retain information and that will help with my mom's garden.
Bulkley Valley Groundbreakers, ironically, of course, is living up to the name because they really are breaking ground for younger folks like myself who basically didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have the land, you can have the time, but knowing where to put my time and resources is really critical because it's easy to waste time
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to waste your own energy, which is really at the end of the day, sometimes is finite.
I like to think about rather building solutions and focusing on positive projects for our own sovereignty, whether it's food or like local economies or in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Food sovereignty for me is like my focus because it's just such an essential thing. Like, food is medicine. It's kind of, you know, if everyone was more focused just on growing food, we would have to focus a lot less on other unnecessary things. And it's a great way to build community too.
Finally, I asked, why should someone get involved with Groundbreakers as either a volunteer employee or to involve them in your own farm's projects?
All of the reasons that I just outlined, yeah. Basically. I find that all the other participants are super approachable. The training days like these are awesome
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't mean you're just stuck at one work placement the whole summer. Yeah. You get out, you get to see different setups. Every farm is a little bit different. So, for example, Mark's greenhouse here, I've never heard of that before yeah. 2 hours ago. So, yeah, and just groundbreakers in general, I find is really approachable. And, yeah, the whole program is to learn.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to learn and you're willing to work, I think it's a great program.
I would just think back to my first experiences doing physical kind of work. And it's really gratifying farming because you can really see what you've done. Like there's lots of jobs where you're doing a lot of work, but at the end of the day, you don't see a planted field or a harvested field, or you know, you pass someone some food that you've like put your love into and they smile and they're so happy to have local stuff. Or I find it's, I guess I'm just saying, it's really rewarding and like in a deeper way, which some work it's hard to find a deeper purpose sometimes. So I think that'd probably be my main point for youth, like if you want a job that I think society really needs and it's keeps you in shape and you get to be outside.
Some people are very romantic about farming or gardening and stuff, yeah. And to have someone have a little bit of a hands-on experience firsthand and first and some knowledge helps out a lot, whether or not they really want to be there. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's fine, but if they do, then they got that experience and then we can use that on the resume. And chances are, like, because Katya or Andrew's gone through as a volunteer, like, we would hire them.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.